Every so often, you in the congregation will tell me something like this: "Well, you tramped all over my feet today," and my answer usually is, "I had to endure it first, and I had to endure it all week long. You only had to endure it for half an hour." This message is my testimony before you today, and because of all of your love and forgiveness for me and accepting me in your midst, I wanted to preach this sermon on what you do when you have to walk in dark ways. And all of you have been there, and some of you still are. But here we have in the 50th chapter of Isaiah the context for the contrast that we'll run into before this passage works out. And so God is speaking to us through this word, even as he has been speaking to me all week, and I hope he'll speak to you too. Hear the word of God. "Where is the certificate of your mother's divorce, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? For your iniquities you have sold yourselves, and for your transgressions your mother has been put away. Why, when I came, was there no man? Why, when I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Indeed, with my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. The fish stink because there is no water and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word of wisdom to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheek to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting." And this last paragraph is the Lord Jesus saying, "Whatever you're going through, I've been through worse." And indeed he has. "For the Lord God will help me. Therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who condemns me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Look, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks you have kindled. Then you will have from my hand, that you will lie down in torment." And may the Lord, the Holy Spirit, enable us to receive the message of the word. And to that end, I ask you to pray that God will speak to your heart, even as I pray that God will speak to my heart and through me. Let us pray. O Lord, hear my cry, hear the voice of your people who seek your face and who want to have a message from you and want to be encouraged as we walk through the fiery trials of faith. And we pray blessing on this congregation and pray that the Holy Spirit will quicken us through the word to renewal and revival and rededication of our lives to you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I suspect one of the favorite verses that we read in the Bible and are able to quote out loud and with a smile on our face, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What great words, what a comfort when God speaks to us in the book of Isaiah, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And what a great promise to claim, "Fear not, I am with you and I will be your God." And all of these just pile up, and their blessing, strength, and assurance are found in these words. And furthermore, we have discovered by trial itself that we believe God really answers prayer, don't we? And we pray for each other. We could spend the rest of this service this morning asking people to give their testimony about answered prayers, how God has come to them in times and given wonderful, encouraging answers to prayer. We could tell of loved ones who were healed or spared injury in some horrific accident. We could speak of wonderful things which could only be explained by God's direct intervention in our lives. But what about the times when God doesn't seem to hear or answer our prayers? For not all of the sick are healed, and some die. Not all accidents end with just a close call, or they are more than that. And for those of you who make your living farming, the rain may not fall in time to save the harvest, or it may fall in such abundance that a flood comes and washes your harvest away. The marriage may not be saved, and the life may not be redeemed. The misunderstanding, even between believers, could erupt and often does erupt into long-standing and bitter feuds. What then? Do we have to just dismiss all of the promises of the Word? Do we have to just pretend that everything is well with our souls when it isn't? Is there anyone here who hasn't had to deal with heartbreak and disappointment? We've all lost loved ones that we thought and prayed would live. And this will happen again unless our loved ones lose us first. And then we will find out who's really important. And it's not me. It's other people. And this does happen. We don't like to talk or even think about the time when God seems not to answer our prayers. When we cry out to God and God seems to be silent, and our prayers don't even go as high as the ceiling, let alone up to heaven. It hurts too much to talk about unanswered prayers, as we call them, and when the thing we dread most actually happens, then we have to ask, what then? We prayed for light in difficult times, and we thought we were doing the right thing and following God's will, only to discover in retrospect that we had made some pretty terrible mistakes in life. We took a stand for what we thought was right, and no one seemed to understand. And no one and everyone seemed to be angry and put out with us because we took that stand. And when these things seem to happen in waves back to back and no relief is in sight, one disappointment after another, one life-shattering loss after another, what then? Does it make any difference if you're a Christian? And I'm going to shock you a little bit by saying, no, it doesn't make any difference. It makes all the difference in the world when you know the Lord and you find rescue from Him and you find comfort and strength. When you have tried to do the right thing and you fail, God understands. And God is encouraging you to keep on doing the right thing, and He will reward you in due time. And so we ask again, is it worth the time and trouble? Of course it is. That's what life is all about. In this world, we are given only a limited amount of time. But we do not limit our thinking to this world, not even primarily to this world, because God has promised us a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness, and He's He now has us in boot camp learning what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is possible and inevitable that believers will have times when they walk in darkness and they suffer great loss. During the last couple of years, we have seen a granddaughter to go be with the Lord, and a daughter-in-law and a sister-in-law, we have been on the verge of seeing our son to go to be with the Lord, and God seems to be sparing him for the time being. But let me just stand up here and tell you, because of your prayers and your compassion and your understanding, I can stand up in here and say that God has heard your prayers in our behalf. And though there is darkness, there is a great light shining. And we're not alone. Most of you have gone through similar things. And certainly, when you read about the great heroes in the Bible, they all had to go through times of doubt and fear and loss. When you take the classic example of Job, when you stop to think what really happened to Job, what unbelievable things happened to this good, trusting, praying man, one tragedy after another after another. Do you know Job lost all of his children and all of his grandchildren in one horrible desert storm? His whole family was wiped out, with the exception of his wife, and she didn't understand. And yet, Job was not the only one. Abraham had been promised by God that he would have a son by his wife Sarah. And year after year after year, it never happened. Abraham was 99. And I don't want to scare any of you ladies half to death, but Sarah was 90 when she got pregnant for the first time. And so these things happened, and Abraham tried to take over his own life, and he made a mess of it. And God came, still was faithful, and straightened out his messes. Elijah was such a prayer warrior that he prayed at the hand of God, and saw the hand of God, that he sent a drought for 3.5 years. You think you've seen a drought in Clarendon County for 3.5 years? And then God told Elijah, pray again and put Israel to the test. And Elijah prayed and everybody just about drowned. Just sort of like the weather in Clarendon County. But Elijah, even after that, he just gave up. And he went into the wilderness when the queen decided that she was going to have him killed. He went into the wilderness and sat down under a juniper tree and dug himself a hole and pulled the hole in after him. And he said, oh God, I'm just giving up. I don't want to live anymore. And God said, get up from there, Elijah, and get back to work again. That's basically what he told him. And yes, even Jesus endured the dark night of his soul. When he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew what he was asking for. He fervently wanted the Father to deliver him from the terrible judgment that faced him, your judgment and mine. But he also, at the end of all of those agonizing hours, prayed 3 times, not my will, but your will be done. And then he went ahead and prayed the last time and said, Father, go ahead. Go ahead, and I'll drink the cup. Yes, the Lord Jesus endured the dark night of his soul when on the cross he was abandoned, forsaken, and judged as a sinner by the Heavenly Father. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Knowing full well that it was because he took my sin and your sorrow and my sorrow on himself, and died for us. So I say again, it's not only possible but inevitable for believers, praying people, to walk in darkness. And the Bible is very realistic and honest about this. And God plainly tells us there are times and seasons when we must suffer and when there is no relief. and when we must live and endure by faith and faith alone. The evidence says stop trusting in God, even as Job's wife said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die and get it over with? And that's Satan's favorite trick with us. I've lived my life and I've tried to honor God and everything's gone to pieces, so just give up on God. Oh, no. God never gives up on you, nor should we ever give up on God. God gives us circumstances that allow us to have a testimony that is impossible otherwise, because people want to know, is God able to help you? Is God able to turn your tears into laughter and your sorrow into joy and your doubt back into faith again? Oh, yes. He is powerful enough to do that. And I bear you witness, because of your prayers, the darkness has passed away from our lives. And even though we know that we go through other times, because God has proven himself so faithful, and we want to be faithful to him. I must tell you these words, not by commendation, but by affirmation to me, that before Tuttle McNair died, he said to me, you are the most faithful man I have ever known in my life. And it was worth a lifetime of suffering to hear one person say that and mean it. And so at such times when we go through the darkness, is there an answer? Is there any help available? Oh, God offers the answer, and it's difficult and demanding, but it's real. Listen to these words again that I read you. Who among you fears the Lord, who obeys the voice of his servant, who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. And I tell you, there is a rock foundation underfoot for those who are willing to take that verse to heart and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Is there any comfort in this? Well, according to this passage of Scripture, in such times of darkness, when life is no longer understandable or even good, still God invites us simply to trust me. I know what I'm doing, and I have a glorious future in mind, and assures us that he's always there, his purpose is always good, and his love never, ever fails. But you'll have to decide for yourself and accept that by nothing more than just simple trusting faith to rely upon God. He knows where you are. He knows what's happening in your life, and he's there. For we know that all things work together for the ultimate good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And what is that? What is that ultimate good? It sounds almost impossible. It sounds so incredible to say it out loud. But God has decided he's going to make every one of you who trust in his Son like his Son. When God has finished his work in you, you will be a brother or a sister to Jesus Christ, and he will not be ashamed to acknowledge you before the Father. He will come to you in the time of your passing, or unless he comes first, and he will say to you, let me introduce you to the Father. He knows you, and he loves you. And so that's true, and it's real. And so Isaiah said, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. That means to trust him as your heavenly Father, that whatever he does, it is because he loves you. And if he puts you fiery trials of faith, it's because he loves you. And he loves your neighbors and your family, and he wants you to be lifted up as a shining example. This is what happens to a man or a woman who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what happens, they emerge as a child of God and as a witness for the Lord's goodness and mercy to us. So then he also reminds us What about those who do not accept this? What about those who say, well, God, I've just given up on you. I'm no longer going to walk according to your word. I'm going to live my life any way I want to live it and be satisfied with it. Well, no, you can live it any way you want to live it, but you can never, ever be satisfied if you're a child of God. Down deep in your heart, there is a tug on you that you must answer sooner or later. And the sooner you answer it, the better off you will be. Oh, yes, it will be like, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's painful to be nailed to a cross. More painful than you can imagine. It's painful to withdraw from an ungodly lifestyle and commit your way to the Lord. It's painful to forgive other people for what they've done to you or haven't done for you. But it's necessary, because God wants you to walk in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said himself, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And then God warns us, but now all of you who light fires and provide yourself with flaming torches, go walk in the light of your own fire that you have set ablaze. And this you will receive from my hand, nothing, nothing. You will lie down in torment. So if you are on the brink of deciding, well, I just don't feel like I can trust the Lord anymore with all of my heart and lean not unto my own understanding, I feel like I've got to take over charge of my life, then don't expect the Lord to mean much to you, because he won't. You've asked him to leave. You're not answering the knock on the door. But for those of you who know you can't forever close the door on him, you must say from your heart, nevertheless, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Oh, yes, you can get what you think is your right by your own manipulation. You can walk down your own path, blaming God, questioning God's goodness, and following your own desires. But there will come times in your life when God is silent to your most urgent requests. What then? You have two choices. You have two choices. Your own path. And God says, go ahead and light your own torch and follow that light, and it will be darkness to you. Or you can trust in the name of the Lord, and you can rely upon God. If this is your choice, let me tell you, the darkness of whatever cross you're bearing will suddenly flame with the light of God's presence. And even though you walk in dark places, hear it from one who's been there. You will become aware, keenly aware, that someone is walking with you. His name is Jesus. And he'll walk with you through the trials, and he'll bring you into the resurrection, because, after all, he has gone to prepare a place for you, and he's left behind directions on how to get there. Faith, trust in the Lord. And so this is my plea to you, and this is my testimony before you. God comes to us in the darkest hours, and he brings comfort, and he brings peace, and he brings meaning to otherwise meaningless incidences in life. Try it. You'll like it, because God loves you. May we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you hear our sighs, and that you take account of our tears, and that you provide all that we need in this world and the world to come. Deliver us from bondage to self. Deliver us from bondage to self-pity. Deliver us, O God, from making our lives our own, rather than accepting your lordship and your guidance. And we pray that as a result of what we have learned from your word today, that our lives may turn around, that we may not follow the flaming torches of this world, but rather that we may follow him who is light itself, and who said to us, "You are the light of the world." May we shine brightly for Jesus' sake. Amen.